I think this is Rusev's theme, guys. Here's the cover, hook of the leg, and a kick out.
Here's an old secret, champ to champ. Title reigns end, and Nikki's gonna get her rematch, and she's gonna bring a little hippie sister and a little third wheel, and they're gonna take that back, and the Divas division is gonna go back right where it was. There is no revolution, Charlotte. You are just a placeholder.
Welcome to As the Heel Turns. I'm Alexander Kaylee, your host, and with the most handsome man, the professional podcast.
I feel world. The excitement. Do you feel the
wow.
excitement?
Connor Dorian and Dario Pappasarelli.
Someone pee in your cereal this morning, or what?
You know, normally I would have been thrilled to open the show with Paige, with her lovely British accent, but you know, just hearing it reminds me that I think it was a couple weeks ago now, she got engaged on, well, I guess it must be longer than a couple weeks ago, but, you know, it was on TV a couple weeks ago. She got engaged on Connor Dorian's favorite television show, Total
Second
Divas.
Favorite. Second favorite now.
Two? Tough enough?
Did you guys watch Legends with JBL on
no.
Monday? It was actually really good.
I'm going to be watching it soon.
Okay, I have it if you want it.
She's engaged to, for anyone who doesn't know or watch Total Divas, my favorite Paige is engaged to a very talented musician from the spectacular alt-rock metal band. I've never heard a song from them before. A Day to Remember. Guitarist Kevin Scaff. I'm very happy for the both of them.
You certainly sounded, my friend.
You know, I'm not one of those people who, when a celebrity gets engaged, like, oh, no, it's just like, oh, as if I had a chance, but... you know, I really felt like I had a chance here, guys. I really felt like if we'd gone to a house show or something in the last year, you know, I'm a little bit of an older man.
Dude,
you know,
she's younger than me.
She's a little young, but she's very mature.
Is she younger than me?
No, she's definitely older than you, probably.
And
older
and
than your kids.
I'm really bummed out. You know, I thought she's marrying some hippie rock star. Again, I'm very happy for both of them. You know, he's probably a drug addict. He probably cheats on her all the time. But again, I'm very happy for both of them. And again, I've never heard the band before. They're probably terrible. But really, again,
I've actually seen them.
Have you live?
Yeah, I have.
You're a liar.
I've seen them. They were at Warped Tour 1 year and I was there.
That makes me even more mad somehow.
So this happened a few weeks ago, Alex. And yet it's starting to manifest itself now.
It was aired a few weeks ago.
Which I'm sure you probably were aware of months ago, right?
I don't know.
Was that before?
I'm sure someone must have said something, or maybe she put something on her Instagram, but maybe I blocked it out.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether it was before or after you got served notice in terms of, you know, can't be within 50 yards of her.
Again, it's very lucky that you haven't gone to a house show because I would put that to the test.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, you know, in terms of restraining order, but I mean, why is it manifesting itself today? Like, why are you so down today because of it?
You heard the clip. Suddenly, she's back front and center in this Divas Revolution. I'm not even using our hashtag. That's
front
how
and center.
Front and center. Natty. I was like, first of all, who's she talking
about?
No,
she's definitely got a Cockney accent. She's not like
yeah,
full British like you just did.
Right on.
You don't
but
pronounce the T's.
It did become more pronounced, the eviler, that's a word, the eviler she got. And
you know what else became more pronounced, the eviler she got?
Yeah, your affection for her became more pronounced, the eviler she got.
Good save. Good save. This podcast can still be published because you just saved that. Obviously, I think it's great. You know, I was criticizing her last week, so... I think probably one of the problems she was having was, you know, I think they all knew they were building up to this turn. So it's like her character's in a bit of limbo until now. So I'm thinking her matches are going to get better again. So that's good. Can someone else talk, please? I'm just my head hurts right now.
Well, you know, you bring it up in that fashion. You and I and Connor, we've all been overly critical, if maybe not necessarily overly, maybe bang on critically.
I'm glad you added me just kind of at the end there because it's... I feel it's mostly you two.
Okay, why wouldn't you include you? Because, I mean, have you been happy with how the Divas storylines have been going?
No.
And the reason why
I
included you at the end
Divas
was because
revulsion.
You also...
And that's why it hasn't been trending.
Just because you haven't been here, other than last week.
That's true.
So, but you would have been complaining about it too. But finally, there is not necessarily a full-blown storyline, but there is definitely this what looks like to be the start of one. How they take care of it and how they grow it, that's but still open for discussion.
We were saying the exact same thing when all the NXT Divas came up. We were saying the same thing. Finally, something to do with the Divas division, and then it just went downhill. So I'm not getting optimistic yet.
Well, I'm starting to. I'm starting to because, one, I still like the idea of Paige not associating herself with Becky or Charlotte. And I think it's an opportunity for Bayley to come up. I know that means more. We finally got to see Natalie, which we haven't seen in, like Paige said, forever. So I'm willing to give it a shot.
Natty. I would have liked it better if she said, "Where are you, Natty?" and she still wasn't there that night, and then she would debut next week.
Oh, they don't.
I think I would have liked that.
They don't
more.
Have the patience for that.
No.
Pop, you're are you familiar with the band The Who?
What kind of question is that?
You know, they had a little song. It's called
"We Don't Get Pool Again."
I'm sure you know it.
I do. And I did see The Who in concert, by the way.
That's such a relevant reference.
It's topical.
It's very topical.
Thank you. I try. You know, I was talking to some teenagers the other day, and oh yeah, that sounds weird.
That was weird.
anyway, so.
Did you have a pocket full of candy?
How can you be so easily drawn back into this nonsense?
Because every once in a while, the WWE surprises you. Every once in a while, they do things right.
When was the last time they surprised you, Dario?
I don't know about surprising, but the last thing that comes to mind was I was really upset about a year ago, maybe two, with Daniel Bryan getting pummeled week after week after week after week after week after week after week. But I'm telling you, watching that WrestleMania when he won that championship belt, that payoff was huge and made it all worthwhile.
I agree, but it wasn't surprising.
No.
The last time I was surprised, WrestleMania this year. I'm surprised you overlooked that with
the Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins cash-in.
I enjoyed it.
That was definitely surprising to me. I didn't think they would take a chance like that.
It was cool.
So, like I said, they do get it right at times. And
at times, yes.
You're going to stop watching?
I already have. You guys know I will get to the sort of the concept of this episode later.
Well, you'll get back into it.
Of course, maybe. I'm going to get back into it. I'm a lifer, but they don't need me. They need these people tens of thousands of viewers. They're hemorrhaging every week.
Hemorrhaging?
Hemorrhaging.
With their viewerships.
Luckily for them, I shouldn't say luckily because they worked hard to put it together. The network is doing very well, as far as I can tell, and it's making them money hand over fist. So in that sense, I applaud them. But as far as the week-to-week TV show goes, just to deflate your bubble. That's it. You know, you deflate bubbles now. That's where I am in my life.
Boy, has Tom Brady really ruined us, hasn't he?
Yeah.
If you're wondering where this Divas hashtag Divas Revolution.
Divas Revolution.
No, I've given up on it now. If you're wondering where it's going, I was reading the SmackDown spoilers, and guess what the Divas match is on that show?
Paige versus Charlotte.
I wish. Six-woman tag.
Yeah.
With who?
I think Team Bad and...
the Bellas?
Well, maybe Team PCN. Sorry.
PCN?
Oh, might not...
CNB?
CBN?
CBN.
Charlotte, Becky, Natalie?
But yeah, it's just another... And again, that's not fair to judge, because SmackDown is somewhat of a throwaway show. I mean, obviously, they don't use that to progress storylines that often. But still, it does... It's just, you know, second verse, same as the first and all that, right? So I want to believe that there's change, but it's just more... It's just more of the same. Oh, sorry, that's on main event. So there you go. I take back my criticism. That was unfair.
If you called SmackDown a throwaway show, imagine what you call the main event.
Is main event the intro to Raw or SmackDown?
It's filmed before Raw, I want to say.
Before Raw?
And then
Superstars is before SmackDown?
Yeah, I think Superstars is more of a recap show, though, isn't it?
Do they still do Superstars? I think Superstars actually got canceled. I don't know if they do Superstars every week now.
I have no idea.
Sorry, my memory's a little hazy.
It would be kind of weird if they did main event before Raw. Because Raw's 3 hours. SmackDown's only two.
You're correct. That was very basic. They used to do something before Raw, not anymore. Yeah, and now it's for SmackDown. You're right, because people... Can you imagine people staying there for the showing up for main
for
event?
4 hours?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we would do that.
SummerSlam every Monday.
We would. We did it with Dry Quark.
You know, they don't need...
Smash all the else.
Look, wrestling companies, they have our dollars. You know, they have our dollars, right? It's they're not worried about us. It's bringing in those new people and retaining them that's so tricky. And again, that's why... You know, ratings have been so down. Storylines like Divas Revolution. I stuttered there. And let's just talk right away about what's going on with Seth Rollins in the main event. So, gentlemen, what happened at the end of Night of Champions, either of you?
To me, it was the return. That was the big significance of Night of Champions.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm at a loss for words in terms of... I guess I'd have to call him the Big Red Machine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I can call him Kane.
The Demon Kane?
The Demon Kane, because you can't call him Corporate Kane, because apparently now that little psychotic split could be two separate people there. But that was really nice in terms of Kane coming down and choke slamming Seth Rollins, but saving Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I didn't
but
understand
choke slamming
that.
Seth Rollins.
I was hoping that he would be helping Sheamus. Because if he's a Demon Kane, he would be a heel, right? But he was playing the babyface.
But, and I think we've had this discussion before. You got to throw heels and faces out.
Yeah.
Out of the equation. Just like, you know, the Raw shows haven't been necessarily the greatest in terms of viewership, but WWE Network is doing well, making money hand over fist. I think at some point we have to take a step back and go, you know, forget about the Attitude Era. This isn't even the era of the 21st century either. Because what happened in the 2000s, everything was always, you know, Monday Night Raw was geared for pay-per-view events. You know, but now pay-per-view is on the network. So, like, what are Raw events? Like, how does everything work together? And I think we're going through that transition that even the WWE doesn't know what it is.
That's a good point. I never really thought of it that way.
Because like you said, you know, Raw, Alex said, Raw is supposed to set up your pay-per-view. I mean, that's... Everything, Dusty Rhodes said it best, you know, every promo that you do, every move that you do should be pushing you to buy a pay-per-view event because that's where they make their money from.
I guess they're pushing you to buy the network now?
Right, which means now Raw is more of a commercial for Swerved or for what you mentioned, the
Legends with JBL.
Legends with JBL.
It's actually pretty good.
And I think that's what Raw's going to start becoming more and more of. But I digressed there, so that was my little rant. Seth Rollins ended with Kane coming in interfering, and I don't have a problem with him choke slamming Sheamus and both of them. I thought it was cool.
Man, who's this Kevin Scaff guy anyway? Him and his stupid beard. He plays guitar. You know, I play guitar, guys. I don't. Oh, what? Sorry. I was off in my own world. What were we talking about? Kane? Was it Kane? Sorry, I thought you said Kevin Scaff. I'd get this letters full start with the same name. Are we talking about Kane?
We were.
Let me tell you something, guys.
And you're talking about a singer that has a bird on
his
shoulder?
Who? What? Kevin Scaff? Did you say Connor, did you say Kevin Scaff?
I did not, Alex.
Did you remember?
No, I didn't.
Your favorite band?
Oh, God.
Kane. Let me tell you something about Kane, Pop. Kane is one of my favorite.
Kevin's fiance is pretty hot, though.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if Kane chokeslam Kevin.
Oh, what? Oh, hey, wait a minute now. Now we're talking.
Now that's the storyline.
Now
right?
I'm back. Kane.
And then he steals Paige, and then they force her to get married like he forced Linda to get married.
Is becoming the best angle ever. Kane, I love the guy to death. Such a reliable performer. You know, just you know, people always talk about the backbone of a company. And they used to mean guys like, you know, guys like Eddie Guerrero and guys like... Dean Malenko and, you know, guys like the workhorses, right? But in a way, you know, Kane is as much, you know, a workhorse as any of them, especially when it comes to bearing the brunt of some of these angles that he's had to deal with over the course of time. We could do a whole podcast on that. I'm not going to go over it. But my problem here is this is a little... Now, logically, it is a continuation of tensions that he's had with Seth Rollins ever since the new authority, you know, the authority formed and got behind Seth Rollins and Seth won the belt. And I guess... There was never really I don't know. I don't remember if there was a satisfactory ending to that tension. I don't know. Did someone get injured or for some reason? Or Kane just got taken off screen?
No, Kane got injured.
Yeah, he
Brock Lesnar broke his ankle.
Oh, okay.
And then Seth Rollins absolutely lost it.
Okay.
And started using the steps on angles on Kane's leg.
Yes. Angles?
We were just talking about angles. Okay.
But
I, for one, was not clamoring to see this storyline resolved. If anything, like, I wasn't a fan of it in the first place. Though, again, I understand. Like I said, he's reliable. And if you want to, you know, do something with the authority and with Seth, Kane's as fine a performer as any. But I just don't see what this does for the main event scene and what it does for Seth Rollins as a champion to have him keep getting involved with Kane in such a strange way. Like,
you know, does
Kane...
Does?
Go ahead, please, Connor.
Kane rejoins the authority and Seth turns. I think that's the logical way to go with it.
maybe you give WWE a lot of credit, or maybe I give them too much credit. I don't know. But I think maybe you're thinking two steps too far. I think what this does in the very short term, number one, it allows the WWE to make certain bookings, unusual bookings, because Kane can be a tormentor. Right? Because if the authority is running the show, they're going to try and, although they haven't, be cushy with Seth Rollins. I think this gives a way for Kane to introduce matches that normally Seth wouldn't be taking as a heel champion. But I also think this gives the opportunity, and if Kane can pull this off, all the kudos to him, because I don't think anybody can. The greatest aspects of Kane, number one, was the Demon Machine. When he first came on the scene,
Lighting people on fire,
the big, mean, and how can you possibly maintain something like that after you've lost and lost and lost? And obviously with his career, he's going to have wins, he's going to have so many losses. How do you maintain that? And yet, the second aspect of what makes Kane so popular for me was, you know, his tag team with Daniel Bryan, Team Hell No, was some of the best comedic moments. I mean, we watched those Raws. You wanted to go back and you know, fast forward to the clip where Kane and Daniel Bryan were together. The question is you can't have both sides of Kane.
Those are the two things that come to mind when you think of Kane?
Yeah.
Really? How about, like, the Brothers of Destruction?
Well, that's part of the mean, evil, boom,
yeah,
kind of thing. That's the big bad portion. But I'm saying is that you can't marry those two parts into one person at the same time, because it just doesn't make sense to be a comedic relief and to be the big, bad muscle. But I think what they're doing now, what they started to do at Raw last night, was have him have that psychotic episode where he doesn't recognize what he did as the Demon Kane. They found a way to marry both of those sides, especially with his happy-go-lucky, "Hey, Seth, I booked you in a match today. I'm giving you a rematch." I mean, I think
I love
works
that.
Perfect.
I love that.
No, look, from a character standpoint, again, I think it's great. I think adding new facets to the Kane characters is great. But can this not be in a mid-card storyline? Can this not be... Why does this have to be involve Seth Rollins? Why do we have to... Why can't Seth... And again, this goes with the age-old problem of the WWE not being able to build up new stars. It's like... I mean, think about it. He was feuding with Sting, and now he's sort of, I guess, presumably going to be in at least a short feud with Kane. These guys... Kane is 48 years old. Sting is 50-something. I mean, why is Seth not wrestling? This is no nice way to say it. Why is he not feuding with people his own age?
There's no one as big as him and the same age as him.
Who would you have?
That's the thing. Here's the thing. He's at the point of his career, and I know the WWE will never do this, where he should be, and this will segue, I think, nicely into another aspect of something that happened at Champions. Shouldn't he be beating guys like Cena and Orton and Sheamus cleanly? Like, does he need to be saved from these guys? I know on a level of prestige to the casual viewer, they're much higher than him. I understand that. If your average person tunes in who's been sort of watching for the last few years, they'll be like, how'd this guy beat John Cena? How'd he beat Randy Orton? But, you know, you have to find a way to change people's perceptions and their expectations. And unless you start giving this guy at least somewhat clean wins, I'm not saying he needs to be, like, dominating them, but... I just don't know. I don't know what it does for him and what it does for the company when your champion is starting to look so weak.
I think that's... We always talk about no faces, no heels, but that's typical heel. Not winning cleanly, looking weak, stealing wins.
But he's getting beaten cleanly now. That's the problem. And not getting his heat back. So, let's say what happened at Night of Champions, he lost to Cena cleanly, right?
Yep.
And then the rematch on Raw, he lost to Cena cleanly.
Yep.
Why is Cena not the world champion? What is the point of the belts at this point? What is the point of Seth Rollins allegedly being the top? Like, how many times can you do that before, again, the belts become meaningless and Seth Rollins, you've just killed him as any sort of draw?
Why isn't Cena the champion? Because he doesn't have a match against Seth Rollins for the championship.
But what does it matter then? What does it, he's beaten him twice cleanly in a wrestling ring. Like, it's just legalese at that point. You know what I mean?
Well, not necessarily, because you're looking at the results here. I took away from Night of Champions something different. I took away from Night of Champions that Seth Rollins, number one, had to face two matches. That's not the authority protecting him. He put on a heck of a show in both of those matches. He did very well against Cena. He did very well against Sting. Unfortunately, it seems that, you know, Sting got injured during that match. And we don't know how those storylines had to change because of that injury. So we don't know if Sting would have been here on Monday night. If something would have been different, maybe Kane's role would have been diminished a bit more. I don't know. Maybe it had to be more pronounced.
How about a Demon Kane and Sting tag team?
Against Seth that. And who?
I don't know. Throw Randy Orton in there.
Throw Randy Orton anywhere. But
he can't beat Cena. He can't beat Randy Orton. He's a B. He's below a B-level player in the eyes of the casual person. He can't beat them. He's not a champion. They're not behind him. I think it's a little, like I said, you know, I like it, we've said, I've enjoyed a lot of his work during his reign. I've enjoyed, you know, him for the most part being a cowardly heel as he should be. But at some point you have to give credibility. And Triple H should know this most of all. If you watch his, you know, his long run, I remember he held the belt for a long time. He would cheat, but he would also always, one, he would always look strong. Two, anytime he either lost or, you know, someone got a pin on him, he would always get his heat back immediately. And I hated that era of the WWE, but at least he did look like a strong champion. And I think Triple H was a draw. I think that's fair to say. So while he was also cowardly, he also made himself look strong. I just think they went too far with Seth Rollins. And that could be, you know, a matter of opinion. Some people might say, oh, he's just weak enough. I think he looks too weak. He has to get a clean win over someone besides Dean Ambrose. I think the last feud where he was consistently getting clean wins was Dean Ambrose. But I was just looking over some of his results today, and all the house shows he's done with Cena have ended with him losing by DQ, and he's been dropping tag matches. And then again, the two clean losses back to back. Man, I know it's not for the US title and not the world title, but at that point, what does the world title mean then? Who's the best wrestler in the company still? John Cena. In storyline purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I can't refute that.
I don't understand the point of that.
But I don't think it's as big a detriment as you're making it out to be either. I think having Seth Rollins, you know, if we look at the company right now, you know, who are the young up and coming stud talents?
That's a good question. All I think of is all these NXT names keep popping to mind. I'm trying to think of people on the main
roster.
Finn Balor, obviously, number one.
Right. Yeah. Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens, thank you, yeah.
Possibly.
I still think Cesaro. But, you know, if he can ever... But, you know, he can't beat the Big Show. So, again, he's nobody, right? I mean, he's nobody. He's trash.
Yeah, but...
When was the last time the Big Show lost?
I don't... And why is he being protected? Here's the crazy thing. We're in the year of our Lord, 2015, and the guys consistently winning matches and being put in main event storylines are Kane, Sting, Big Show, the Dudley Boys. What is, like, I don't understand, Pop.
No.
I don't understand.
I
let me tell you something about A Day to Remember, okay?
They have
names like, and their name was Treason. What separates me from, how could but she go? Like,
you're taking a blip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Into everything here.
I'm sorry, what happened? What are we talking about?
The Dudley Boys weren't even a name 2.5 weeks ago. Sting wasn't even a name 3 weeks ago. So it's not that they're coming in and they're going to have these year and a half long runs. They're not. We know that. Undertaker doesn't even have that.
Okay, but we went from Sting to Kane.
I'm just saying is that, you know, we always said that they need to work their mid cards a lot better. The Cesaros need to have more of a push. The Kevin Owens need to have more of a push. And we thought that was happening in terms of the John Cena open challenge with the US belt. We thought that was very exciting. I don't know if going back to something like that will help. Personally, I'm not so sure because they've already done it, kind of thing. but you can't lay everything on either, you know, Kane or Seth Rollins themselves. They need to start promoting people. And I agree with that. I do. But like I said, I don't think you're making, I think you're making mountains out of molehills here. There's going to be peaks and valleys, and they're going through a bit of a valley right now. But I think they're building a story, and I think they're building up to something that maybe can be a payoff later on.
You know what I'm saying? They have us. Of course they have us, Pop. I'm saying we'll come back no matter what.
Right, but you can't say they have us and say that, you know, they need to get other people and then keep talking like a mark. I mean, you just can't, but you are.
I can, but the marks are the people they need to get. That's the people they need to get back.
Why?
Because that's how you make money. Those whatever they have, the ratings dropped again this week. Those however million, that's not even us technically, because, well, I don't get into that.
Yeah, but, I know, because it's not even Canada.
But that's what I'm saying. No, they need the marks. They need marks. The marks are the ones who like tune in to watch like WrestleMania or tune in to watch SummerSlam, or okay. Like they need those people.
Right. And their network is doing what?
It's doing really well.
You're talking about ratings for Raw.
Yeah.
Can you find the ratings for the pay-per-views?
You'd have to check like the subscription things, and like I guess I think they check how many people like viewed them.
Because are they only exclusively on the network now? Or are they still available on pay-per-view?
I think they're available on pay-per-view in certain locations, which I'm assuming it's where there's no network.
Right, and yeah. I think only some events as well. Like I want to say SummerSlam was available on pay-per-view. I think WrestleMania they're going to keep making available on pay-per-view for a while. Maybe not forever, but probably for the time being until, because it's just still such an event.
You're talking about marks getting new viewership.
Mm-hmm.
The commercials they were having before SummerSlam got three out of... There's four guys I live with. I was already a fan. It got all three of the other guys to watch it. So it's obviously doing something right.
The commercial for SummerSlam, you said?
Yes.
Okay, but what about all these... Like, Pop's talking about peaks and valleys. Why does there have to be creative valleys? That's my question. I understand that there's going to be parts where no matter what you do, especially with football coming back, no matter what you do, people... And also, I'll be honest with you, let's be fair, WWE, TV ratings overall are dropping, right? People have other ways of watching. You know, I think a lot of people now, it's probably underrated now, watch the show on Hulu the next day, which is an edited version.
Yeah, the recap show.
Yeah, well, it's not even a recap. It is Raw. It's just they cut out certain segments. So, like, they're getting a shorter version of Raw. The only problem is sometimes good stuff gets cut out. But, I mean, if you're telling me I could watch a shorter version of Raw on my computer whenever I want or something... That sounds pretty good. So I will be fair to WWE, and there are many things outside of their control, especially, again...
That don't count against the ratings, right.
Not just that, but yeah, and also, like, people are watching TV less in general. And there's nothing, there's really, except for live sports. You know, that's why live sports is the most, you know, worth so much money.
Lucrative.
It's first run, I mean, you know, WWE is also first run, but it's a different kind of first run programming, you know.
At what point do ratings not matter, though?
Someday.
Because
someday
they're selling out every show.
They don't anymore. They actually don't. That's the tricky thing. I want to say they still do really well. You know, you could watch the show. You can see how packed it is. But I know at least live shows are definitely down, which happens when you don't have a world champion who is a draw. And I know I've actually heard that Raws, I think certain Raws are not selling anymore. And it used to be a guarantee. So that's a bad sign. They do the thing. They have to block out, like, they curtain off some of the seats. Yeah. So, but they do so many shows, it doesn't matter.
Well, I know. I think that's probably more than anything is the dilution of the amount of WWE we get.
Sure.
I still, you know, love the idea of after the Hall of Fame, after WrestleMania, there's a month off and then the next season starts. I mean, every sports... has an off season. Wrestling doesn't. And I think, you know, even if it'll sacrifice one pay-per-view, it'll sacrifice four Raws, but take a month off. Let the talent rest.
For sure.
And then, you know, let things continue after, you know, let there be a cliffhanger at WrestleMania kind of thing. I don't know. But I think it's a new way that we have to look beyond numbers like ratings. Certainly, maybe now we'd look at seat sales and see if that's what's doing it, and progress further.
You know, I agree. It's an outdated way of looking at things, and I assume that they're probably not as fixated on it as I'm being today. But I just find the product so boring. But like I said, I didn't watch the last 2 weeks. Connor, you seem to say that this week's episode of Raw, that was a good one.
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Let's go over some of the other segments. Something different. Speaking of which, something different. Yes, we opened up on a promo for, someone's keeping track of this, like the 55th straight week or something in a row or something like that. But it was not Seth Rollins or The Authority. Who was it?
It was the Wyatt family came out and cut a promo, which, again, we always badmouth The Authority coming out doing promo at the beginning of the show. I'm just as sick of the Wyatt family. So I wanted to see something. It's something different, but it's not different enough for me.
You would
me.
Like to see a match.
Okay, whatever maybe. The two of you are drinking, I don't want any, because you've just both been so negative. I'm supposed to be the crotchety old fart here, and it's the two of you. I mean, I'm looking at it. It's like, this is a younger generation thing. I'm putting my foot down.
Pop.
No. You've been complaining about no storyline for the Divas, complaining about always being Seth Rollins and the Authority at the beginning and the end. They finally give you something that you've been wanting, and now you turn around and go, yeah, I really don't like it. Well, you've been asking for it for the last 3-4 weeks.
But the entire time that we've been a podcast, I've been bad-mouthing the Wyatt family anyway. So I think that is a little warranted.
Guys, can I just say something here? Wikipedia describes a day to remember as metalcore, pop punk, and post-hardcore.
That's enough.
Honestly, I just received a tweet stating that Paige has broke up.
I only wish...
Doesn't count when Alex is the one tweeting it.
Even if that were to happen, you would still want to be excited. So this is all on you, my friend.
Pop, I appreciate the sentiments.
It has nothing to do with anybody.
I appreciate the sentiments. We all know that's not true. Thank you for trying to cheer me up, though.
You're just a crotchety young man.
Did you see the proposal, though?
No.
Was it sweet?
It was not sweet. She did not want to get married.
But she was on TV. So, you got
to. And they went to a tattoo parlor, and he had this "Will you marry me?" tattoo, designed on his arm, and showed it to her, and she just kind of stood there staring at him.
Oh boy.
I don't know about that.
It's only making me more. Might still
have a chance there, Alex.
That sounds long lasting.
I know.
It's a tattoo. It's forever.
No, they didn't get it. They didn't get the tattoo. It was just drawn on.
Completely
off. What, really?
Yeah, it was just you get one drawn, and then you put it on, and then you...
Okay. But yeah, Dario, we're not so much... You know, obviously, we appreciate any sort of change, but change isn't... it has to be a good kind of change, you know? I'm not as down on the Wyatt family as Connor is, but I do get frustrated with... I feel like Wyatt and his cohorts... I don't know, maybe not Braun Strowman. I'm still making up my mind about him, but I do feel like Wyatt should be further along in his career than he is... and it's both the way he's booked, and also that I feel like his promos are just they're nonsense. He has amazing emotion and cadence and all those good things that people keep keeping on his promo skills, but their promos are nonsense.
It's the same thing every week.
It's just, I can't even tell because I don't know what they're about.
I always like it.
I always skip them.
I don't care what they're about. They're visually. I mean, the fireflies, the music, give that to me alone and I'll be happy.
Yeah, but does that make people want to watch TV? Does that make people want to watch? Does that make people want to...
People putting a flashlight in their phone to make people watch?
Promos? I don't know.
Or maybe buy tickets. I think that helps sell tickets, actually.
I don't know. It's possible. I can't discount that. People are definitely into them. But again, at least it was different. And at least... what did he do?
Hold on a second.
Please.
You don't like his horns?
Say that again?
His horns, Matt. I thought his horns looked cool.
Yeah, he's very horny.
No. He wears the horns to the ring now.
I know. That's what I meant.
Are we talking about the Stro show? I didn't watch Raw.
No.
Wyatt?
Wyatt. Whereas the last couple of times I saw him, he's wearing horns.
It's kind
of
dope.
I think it's cool.
Where is this going? Where is this feud going to go next?
Oh, the same place it's been for the last 2 months.
How do you feel about Samoa Joe?
As joining?
Yeah.
Well, right now it's Randy, isn't it? Trendy.
That's what happened, right?
Forgot somebody didn't watch Raw.
And also, anytime Randy Orton appears on my screen, I just black out at this point. Sorry, Connor, I know you love him. He's a great wrestler, but I just black out. But that makes sense, at least. That's logical. They took him out. He's back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Builds up to whatever the next special event is, which I'm going to look up now. While
Hell
you guys talk yep. about...
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell.
Oh, right. That's the next one.
Technically...
Now, hold on. Technically, there is a Madison Square Garden show coming up that they're kind of hyping.
Yes, next Saturday.
Which is why our boy, our poor Cesaro, has continued to be jobbed out to the big show so that he can look strong going against, correct?
Where he's facing Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it's big show Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. And then Brock Wolf is at Hell in a Cell. That damn Kevin Scaff. I'm sorry. He just okay. Yeah. But so there was technically a show in between. Kind of like how they did the Beast from the East. So this is like live from Madison Square Garden. And then we have the Hell in a Cell coming up. So do you think that there will be, if they were going to debut a new, well, they're not going to the Orton thing, but if they're going to continue this, do you think it'll continue at the live from Madison Square Garden, or do you think they're going to do another sort of gimmick match at Hell in a Cell for the Wyatts and Reigns and Ambrose and whoever, Randy Orton?
I think it could be both.
It could be both. Like I said, with Randy in there now, the one thing is I don't see Randy turning on them as Chris Jericho sort of did at Night of Champions.
Yeah, I feel like Jericho was just kind of thrown in there just to say, hey, here's Chris Jericho for one night.
You know what I looked at, like Chris Jericho when he came out and went, that's the WWE going, somebody leaked out it was going to be who from NXT?
Baron Corbin
from NXT. Too many people already know about that. Let's spin the wheel.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt about it.
Okay, Chris, great idea. Let's just put him in there.
Connor, no excitement at all when Jericho came out?
I guess a little bit, but not as much as I should have been. Not as much as they thought I would be. You know what I mean?
But it was the opener, right? It was the opener of Night of Champions, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't the first match.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Was it Kevin Owens' first match?
Yes, because I missed it. Yep. But I was more happier, I was more excited when Jericho left than I was when he entered.
Yeah, because I thought there was going to be something going on. And then I think he's just done. I think that was just a one night
only. You know, it's something they could always bring up in the future, I guess.
But I've always liked Jericho more as a heel than I did as a face.
Yeah, I'd like to see a Jericho-Ambrose feud.
That would be cool.
Right?
Has that already happened?
No, not surprisingly. No.
They had a cage match.
And Jericho did make sense, too.
Jericho and Ambrose?
Because Jericho did have Wyatt. Jericho did have a feud with Wyatt.
It was Wyatt.
So it did make sense for him to be one of the people coming out there. So
no, it was logical.
It wasn't totally out of noggin. But it just seemed like it was to say, oh, damn it, we were going to go with Corbin, but everybody knows it now, so let's do our own version of the swerve.
Speaking of the opener, so Kevin Owens getting his first main roster gold, and you know what a title it is, the Intercontinental title, very prestigious, the working man's title. If anyone's a working man, it's certainly Kevin Owens. Really, that's kind of his gimmick, right? Is that he's the everyday man, pardon me, who worked his way to his position.
Pissed off everyday man.
I feel a little bit bad. I feel like I'm crazy. A little bit bad for Ryback, I think.
I don't.
I know a lot of people aren't fans of him, but
I agree with you, Connor. I've never been a Ryback
fan. I know. Look, he's not a great wrestler, but I thought he was putting in a good effort. I thought the Miz Big Show angle, I mean, you know, and then someone else got injured there, right? So, oh, he got injured.
Yeah.
Ryback got injured.
Yeah, so I think he didn't, you know, it was hard for him to get a good run going, but it's better to just move on, I think, and cut their losses with whatever that push was, and move on to Kevin Owens, who, you know, I'm complaining about Seth Rollins not getting good, fresh main event opponents. But the last thing I would have wanted them to do is to have Kevin Owens skip sort of the mid-card and go right into the main event. I want Kevin Owens to take that long road that so many champions before him took, get over really as a mid-card draw, and then someday move on to feud with Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns or whoever
it's
is the top of the time.
Risky, though.
It is.
It's very risky because you only have, like, in terms of so much of a runway. Mm-hmm. And who were the last five Intercontinental titles? And are they now?
Ryback, Daniel Bryan.
Ziggler? Uh-huh. Ziggler?
Probably's in there. I don't know if it's before him, but was definitely. I think it's
Cesaro?
One of the last five.
Barrett?
I think Cesaro won U.S. a few times. Okay. Not
Barrett was.
But I just feel that.
That's not bad. I think we got all of them. I got all of them.
But the career is really, other than maybe Daniel Bryan, really never.
That's because, Pop, if I'm going to take some of your optimism here, and I'm going to say they're not going to book Owens like they have someone. Like, he's not going to suddenly start losing non-title matches, getting put in matches with, you know, main eventers for no reason. And, I think they're going to book him strong, right?
Let's hope.
We hope. The one thing I like about, I mean, again, something like Seth Rollins, but with Kevin Owens is, you know, he didn't even have to wrestle last night. And I like the fact that they don't necessarily wrestle. But he was part of that Ryback segment being out at the commentator's table. I love his delivery. I mean, I continue, it's refreshing where it's so understated. I think if you can continue to find ways of having him involved in that manner without necessarily wrestling, then I think you lengthen that window of opportunity that he has in terms of getting over and then pushing from a mid-card to a main-card kind of status.
I like the way that they sold him on Sunday night when he was, like, before the match. They're saying Kevin Owens just wants to win this title because it means a bigger paycheck. It means he can provide... Like, I like the angle they're doing with that. So I hope they keep that going. And then possibly, like, I don't know, go for another title after with the same kind of angle, I guess.
Yeah, we just don't want them to rush with him. We know what an amazing talent he is. You know me, I was one of the people who was a little bit skeptical when his first feud with Cena. On one hand, freaking amazing, just surreal that such a talented guy was rewarded right away and looked...
And delivered.
Yeah, looked
they
at home,
both
right?
Delivered.
I still think that last match was... Ugh.
They should have left it at one.
And if they're going to go three, Owen should have won. But again, that's a whole other thing. But let's just to tie the two things together, our two last two stories. Apparently, have you seen all these scheduled matches for the Madison Square Garden show?
I have not.
No, actually.
Ryback will be defending his title, not against... I'm sorry. Kevin Owens will be defending his title, not against Ryback, but Chris Jericho?
Huh.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Just out of curiosity, and is it possible... can they set a title defense at Hell in a Cell? And is that against Ryback?
I would assume they'll have a gimmick match at Hell in a Cell, yeah. Which I think could be good. I think Ryback is the kind of guy who will just naturally thrive more in gimmick matches. You can't put him in sort of like a 15-20 minute straightforward wrestling match. He just doesn't have the cardio and the ability to do that. But you put him in a gimmick match, I think a hardcore match, something like that, that could be really good.
I got no issues with that whatsoever. My problem, though, is... If you know that that's going to happen, what does that do to the Jericho Kevin Owens match at Madison Square Garden?
Really?
Do we know how they're doing this, though? Is it going to be just like Beast from the East, like a house show type thing? Because I understand the Chris Jericho then.
Yeah, they love him in Madison. They love
if
him.
If it's just a glorified house show.
A title, though. Like, it shouldn't be a title match. Well, he's obviously going to lose. We know he's not going to lose. Yeah. That's my point. Why watch it when we know he's not going to lose?
So this is what we're talking about. This is the new age of the network. And in some ways, this is a good thing because back in the day, this would have just been a non-televised house show. And it is still a non-televised house show. But now they have an outlet to make it, you know, gussy it up a little bit and actually make it presentable. Because I thought the Beast in the East looked awesome. I mean, I think we talked about the presentation. We loved it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very simple, too.
Yeah, I think we loved it.
We attributed more to it being in Japan, though, right?
That too, and then almost taking on a more Japanese style. I think they had said that it was the Japanese crew they used. They didn't fly over all of their own crew, which is why it was so different. So I'll give you a quick rundown of these matches. New Day versus Dudley Boys, title match. Randy Orton versus
Sheamus?
No.
I'm not even going to say it. Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, IC title. Dolph Ziggler, Rusev again. John Cena, Seth Rollins, United States title match again. Brock Lesnar, Big Show. So, it is a house show. Remember, house shows, like I said, that Cena... Remember I was talking before that Cena beat Rollins a bunch of times? So, they actually did the both titles on the line matches several times at house shows, you know? So, I can't complain about them doing a lot of these matches again, except for Orton Sheamus, because it is supposed to be a house show, you know? Yeah. We're not supposed to... Really, this wasn't generally meant for us to see yet again... So I'm not going to complain about it too much. I think it's
going to
be cool.
To keep going on the house show thing, there's a house show in Toronto on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Do we know the card? Did it change at all? I remember we looked at the card.
I don't think they advertised the
church. They did.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought they just advertised performers.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what the card was. What was it supposed to be?
There was an IC title match. There was a US title match. Who was it, though? John Cena, Kevin Owens for the U.S. title, which doesn't make any sense now. I think it was something like that. If you can find it, Alex, we'll keep going on something else.
But moving on to, you guys can talk about Hell in a Cell. There's only one scheduled match, and we probably should talk about
it. Well,
it's
the only match that I want to tuning in for, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the kind of show where this one match should sell the card. Obviously, I'm talking about Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, finish the trilogy. Guys,
I hope it's over after this. If they go a fourth match at WrestleMania...
No, well, they shouldn't. At least from what I've read, they moved the WrestleMania match to this one. And I honestly, I I'm scared. I'm not sure if I want to watch it.
Why, you think Undertaker's going to die?
Well,
it's very morbid, but...
Look what happened at Sting. I mean, it's really how much are they pushing these people? And because of that, you know, I don't know if they can match the kind of intensity that we're looking from them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And not even that we're looking, that they think that we expect from them. Like, especially Undertaker. Undertaker doesn't want to come out and just walk around. I mean, the guy has pride, and he's been, you know, a guy in the locker room. I just don't think his body can take it, and it scares me.
It reminds me of how, you know, Daniel Bryan was dealing with neck problems. They're like, let's put him in a multi-man ladder match at WrestleMania. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, we just saw Sting get injured in a match. Let's take a guy who's like the same age as him. Let's put him in a Hell in a Cell with one of our most dangerous wrestlers.
You know, and it's not like Brock Lesnar's. You know, we still haven't seen J&J Security.
I'm going on the record
saying that if J&J Security were there, that guy would never have gone in the ring with Roman Reigns at Night of Champions.
Well, I don't even want to talk about that anymore. I'm getting sick of people jumping barriers.
He only got 10 days in jail.
Oh, I'm glad he at least went to jail.
Yeah, I'm glad he went to jail, yeah. True.
To publish it even more is idiots.
I saw the clip too, and he thought it was funny. You know, the thing is, it wasn't even some drunk. I think this obviously he was dressed up like a Shield member. He thought it'd be funny, like
he was a third guy coming in. I thought that was cool. Well, let me phrase that. It was a cool idea, but some cool ideas, like a lot of Alex's, shouldn't be put into practice.
Should we call them cool though? They're
brilliant.
Alex's ideas.
Brilliant.
Wouldn't you want to be? Well, not you. Connor, but I would love to be the third member of S.H.I.E.L.D., so to me it would be cool to be considered the third member of the S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
in between those two events, I'm sorry guys, we're kind of all over the place here, but I want to just cram in as much talk as we can, because there is a lot going on. I want to talk about the show you guys are going to, but there was also another NXT TakeOver event highlighted by the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic going on. You know, a lot of good talent there, but really, Bayley. Sasha Banks 30-minute Iron Woman match for the NXT Women's title. I almost wish they got let them do 60.
I can't wait to see this 30-minute
match.
I don't think you can make it 60 minutes when it's only a 2-hour show.
Well, the Mania, you know, the very first time they ever did an Iron Man match with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, I think they only had that match and I think two other matches. So, do the same. My only concern is their match at Brooklyn was like 20-something minutes already. So yeah. I don't know if you're really giving people more bang for their buck.
But an Ironman match, it's multiple pins.
I know, yeah. But is that...
But
I
now mean, it's advertised as a 30-minute Ironman match, and that's the big push. I love it. I love the idea, and I think it's great.
60.
And hopefully...
Well, they need to bring back more gimmick matches like that.
It's not...
Braun panties
matches.
No, we're getting
away
from
it. How about the first blood match?
They won't.
Remember those matches?
Women's first blood.
They don't allow any blood. So
how about the fire around the ring?
Oh my!
Remember those matches?
Has there ever been a good one?
What's the one with the dogs?
With Kennel from Hell.
I don't remember that.
Oh my god!
They're supposed to be like vicious dogs.
By the end of the match,
and then they just went walking around and like peeing in the corner.
And pooping.
They wouldn't even.
And also pooping.
And also, it was really bad.
Oh my gosh!
It was really bad. He's German Shepherd.
It's not that they need more gimmick matches. It's that they need to stop with the gimmick pay-per-views, which is just, for me, is the worst idea ever. It's just so stupid, and it makes it so terrible when it's like, well, I'm challenging you to a Hell in a Cell match, and the guy's like, no! And it's like, Hell in a Cell is the next event coming up. What kind of match do you think he's going to challenge you to?
Have a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and just have all regular matches.
Ooh, really blow people's minds?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm always talking about doing something different. I'm all for it.
No. Because my son Alex would get disappointed. he'd sue for false advertising. He'd want a Hell in a Cell.
And then
the
other event coming up, which we already talked about a bit last week, but just to remind people, Anarchy and Angus Saturday?
Yeah,
Big
Trouble
Saturday. And Little Angus.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, featuring some big names. What do we say? What's his? I'm sorry, this doesn't sound terrible. Crazy Steve from TNA is going to be there.
Yeah.
Some names from Smash Wrestling, correct, as well?
Yeah,
Courtney Rush is going to be there, which is good to see.
Courtney Rush and Casey Spinelli versus Allison Kay and Jennifer Blake.
Yeah.
A couple of mainstays there.
Very good names. Again, support indie wrestling always. Now, I believe I don't want to make any promises that we can't keep, but we should be getting an interview with Casey Spinelli.
Yes, we are definitely getting an interview with Casey Spinelli. We possibly could be getting an interview with Jennifer Blake as well. We're just
waiting on one of the other people there. Yeah, confirmation on that.
Yep.
Yeah, Casey, really cool girl. I think we said before she gave us a great picture last time we were at Smash Wrestling Show.
Lots of fun.
Jennifer Blake, I didn't get a chance to talk to her, unfortunately. Really wanted to though, and I hope you guys managed to get her because she's got she's been around for a long time, very talented wrestler, huge star in Mexico for AAA, Asistencia, Asesoría y Administración.
Wow.
That was just my excuse.
He just wanted to say it.
There
he
go.
Just wanted an excuse to say it. And I have to practice that before Saturday just in case.
Try it now. Try it now.
Just say AAA.
AAA. No, that's not going to fly.
Try it now.
It is called the Asistencia, Asesoría y Administración.
Asesoría.
Let me try. Right. You guys both did it. I got to do it now. I'm going to be definitely the worst one. All right, here we go. I'm not even going to try. AAA.
You know, there's one thing that we haven't discussed on any of our shows that we've got a couple minutes now, wouldn't mind bringing up about. And it's something that we have to, you know, keep talking about the past, but there's also the present and the future. And we have this whole world that we really haven't even touched on. And that's Twitterverse. And I'm being the old person here saying, you know what? I just find that when certain people, and this is outside of wrestling, but wrestlers in particular, when they're allowed to express themselves, their personality through Twitter, it's phenomenal. We talked about Kevin Owens, for example, winning the belt, being the hardworking man. What did he tweet out? Hey, son, look what I'm bringing home for you to play with. You know, the belt. I thought that was like perfect fit in his character. And somebody who
we almost made it through the whole show without mentioning this man once, but
because you know, we started off at the beginning talking, well, with the introduction of the New Day and Xavier Woods trombone doing Rusev's, sorry, did I say Rusev? I meant Ruru's entrance music. And I had to show Alex last night some of Rusev's Twitters, and you just fell for it, didn't you?
He is now followed.
He is now followed. Because one of the things that we talked about like last week is, wait a second, why is Rusev and the New Day, or not last week, or yesterday, why are they tagging together? Wasn't Rusev pounding on the New Day like just a few short weeks ago? And I mean, no sense, and we're blaming WWE Uncreative, and we're getting all hyped up, when all of a sudden Xavier Woods sends out a tweet and says, Rusev invited us to dinner. We're all friends now. Storyline explained right there. That's all we needed.
I'm still waiting for a Zack Ryder Rusev tag team. Team Ru Ru Ru.
Do you have the tweet out?
Let's look at some of the tweets, some of the gems that Rusev has dropped here. First, Xavier Woods explaining the storyline. He said, at Rusev Bull, Rusev actually had us over for dinner to apologize for the way he used to treat us. Now we are friends. And you really have to see the picture. The picture that the screenshot they chose is just hilarious.
To which Rusev replied.
And to make fun of the Lana WWE, ha 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 ha, just four man whole chickens and yogurt laughing at a woman.
Wow.
Jules, I apologize in advance. This is someone else's tweets, not ours. Okay, this is...
How did I miss that?
You got to follow Rusev, man. It is ridiculous.
And what did Lana tweet last week? She tweeted something like, don't know what to do this weekend. Right, obviously. Off the show, don't know what to do this weekend. Don't have any plans. And Rusev replies back, you could watch Bones. Ha 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 ha. He's a pretty funny guy.
He is, you know, ever since It's a Fish, we've known that, man, this guy is...
It's a fish.
It's a fish.
Dig it. Here,
take it.
Dig it.
Take the fish. Yeah, you know, how can we not mention him in the New Day? Just saving... you guys said it was a good show, but being the highlight of every show, every week, that's the one thing. And, you know, we played it way at the beginning. Let's bring it full circle. And we also ended with this last week. That trombone, their in-ring work is excellent, you know... Kofi and Big E are both really good wrestlers. they're the total package as far as an act goes right now. And now you add in Rusev, which I don't know how much more team-ups they're going to do, but just please, so many would be the amount I want.
And I just want to clarify, because I still haven't. Is Xavier hurt? Is that why he's not wrestling?
No. I was very confused with that, because they're already a three-man tag. Why do they need to bring another guy to make the third man?
His strength is really as a manager. I think people realize that. And, you know, it's just so awesome having him out there on the side.
Oh, he helps. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's just when they first started, it looked like they would, you know, be subbing in every once in a while.
I think it'd be funny to have Xavier Woods in a match and have Kofi not in the match and try to play the trombone. Just failed miserably.
Oh, I'm sure they'll do it. This is why, you know, I'm sad I can't go to the Rico show.
And you know what? Then Xavier Woods runs into the back, comes back out, and hands him a triangle to play. Ding.
Oh my gosh!
I think that would be fun.
Or
this
the kazoo.
This is more your style, Kofi.
I wish we'd go to the house show, because this is the kind of stuff. This is the kind of stuff I bet they do at house shows. They probably don't even have to ask. You know, house shows are house shows. They're non-televised, so they probably do this kind of nonsense all the time. And I wish
everything's televised now.
That's true. Everything. Someone's taping something somewhere. And, but yeah, much love to Rusev, New Day, Dudley Boys, and who was Dolph Ziggler. You know, everyone involved in these segments. I think they're really entertaining. And yeah, I still think Kofi for world champion 2016. No, am I alone?
Not happening. Big E with his gyrations will be ahead of Kofi.
I think Kofi would be the first one to turn on them.
I always thought I'd give that more to Big E.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I think the person that turns is usually the one that has a better future. So
I want to see
I'm
going to
put my money on Big E.
I think Kofi can be a heel champ someday. I think this has brought out the best in him, character-wise and in-ring-wise and everything. I think I'm not saying he needs to be a long-term champ, transitional, you know, but he's such a hard worker, and I think not just a hard worker. I think people when they get I think when the company has gotten behind him, I think the fans have gotten behind him as well. And you know, with the right timing, I'm not saying he needs to beat Brock Lesnar or something, but you know, with the right timing, it could happen. It could be legitimate.
It could, but I still think he's part of the one of the mids, and not taking anything away from him, I still think he's a fantastic performer. And I think he's suited for that role. I think it works perfectly, and you know, I'd like him in there, and I want him to stay in that area.
Some of the best performers in history never won the world title, right? Million Dollar Man, Mr. Perfect, you know, Roddy Piper. Thank you. There's absolutely no shame.
Scott
obviously.
Hall.
Scott Hall, thank you. There's no shame in never winning that title. And you're right. Kofi's going to end up having... he's already had a good career. I think he's going to end up having a great career no matter what. Anything else you gentlemen want to add before we sign off? Because I think I know how I'm going to send us out.
Well, I still got a question.
Please.
We have a broadcasting show to do on Tuesdays, and we usually find ourselves here working very late Monday nights. Are you going to watch Raw next Monday?
How?
I said, are you?
I might not have a choice, because if we're in the room, I'm just going to put it on.
Are you going to listen and pay attention?
Do you remember Monday? Do you remember Monday when I was like, Pop, I don't care. I'm not going to put on Raw. And then after like 45 minutes, I was like, no one's
going to resist.
Well,
right?
No, I was like, look, we have baseball on another TV anyway. So,
we missed the
it
opening.
It's stupid not to put Raw on.
And it was the one time that they had a different opening.
It's true. And missed it.
Well, yeah.
And it wasn't that different. Someone talking still.
No, they got into fighting pretty. What I actually talking about that opening match. What I thought was cool was three of them come out. They start doing the promo. Roman Reigns comes out by himself to continue the promo. And then Roman Reigns says, "Look, why don't you send your two blah 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 back? And why don't you and I have a match right now?" He goes, "In fact, we don't even need a referee. It doesn't have to be a match. I just want to fight." And he drops the mic, and the other two guys go off, and they go bang and bang with no referee in the ring. And I went, you know what? That is different. And that was exciting, I thought. Yeah. I actually watched and
other than
to
the competitors, it was exciting.
You liked everything about it except the people involved
except
in the segment.
Yes. The Wyatts, Roman Reigns, and he really hated when Dean Ambrose. And
no, I like
okay
Randy Orton. I was okay with Randy Orton.
Well, on that note, gentlemen, thank you for another exciting show. I just want to say, A Day to Remember, their last album, Common Courtesy, is available in all fine record stores and Walmarts, so check that music out.
Paige, please tweet him. Please tweet Alex, just to calm him down. Just anything. Just, I want my old Alex,
you know,
back,
I
Paige,
love,
please.
I love,
please, I'm begging you.
I love post-hardcore music, so...
I'll talk to Paige and let her know.
Thank you. I love post-hardcore music. A Day to Remember, Kevin Scaff, Paige, congratulations, nothing but the best. And let's go on to A Day to Remember.
Woo! It's not easy making a name for yourself, or do you draw